Time to begin, if you would take a seat. The Bible reading this morning is from Acts, the 15th chapter, verses 22 through 29. Then pleased the apostles and elders with the whole church to send chosen men of their own company to Antioch, with Paul and Barnabas, namely Judas, surnamed Barnabas, and Silas, chief among the brethren. And they wrote letters by them after this manner. Apostles and elders and brethren, send greetings unto the brethren which are of the Galatians in Antioch and Syria and Cilicia. For so much as we have heard that certain which went out from us have troubled you with words, subverting your soul, saying, you must be circumcised and keep the law, to whom we gave no such commandment. It seemed good unto us, being assembled with one accord, to send chosen men unto you with our beloved Barnabas and Paul, men that have hazarded their lives for the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We have sent, therefore, Judas and Silas, who shall be also tell you the same things by mouth. For it seems good to the Holy Ghost and to us to lay upon you no greater burden than these things necessary, that ye abstain from meats offered to idols, and from blood, and from things strangled, and from fornication, from which, if you do keep yourselves, you shall do well. Fare ye well.
Well, I'm all hooked up again. Okay. It's good to see everyone here this morning. And appreciate Jim doing the reading for us. As has been mentioned several times this month already, we're looking at some of Paul's co-workers in this series in the early parts of our service. And so today we're looking at Silas, and he's also known by the name Silvanus. Silvanus would be the longer form of it, and Silas the abbreviated form. And both forms of it do occur in the New Testament, but it's talking about the same person. I've got this all messed up here. I apologize. We'll try this way. Okay. So we're going to look at Silas as most of what we know about him is in the book of Acts, and so we're going to look about there and take a few minutes and look at Silas here. His history starts with the Jerusalem church. The earliest reference to Silas in the New Testament is in the 15th chapter of the book of Acts, the passage that I had Brother Jim read as our text this morning. And there's not a lot directly said. What we can say about Silas from this passage is, can just be inferred from the passage, because here, after people had left Jerusalem and gone to Antioch and created some problems at Antioch over the Gentiles that were being converted there in Antioch, Paul and Barnabas came down from the Antioch church to Jerusalem and met with the apostles and the elders of the Jerusalem church. That's in Acts chapter 15. And it was decided by the apostles and the elders of the Jerusalem church to send people from the Jerusalem church back up to Antioch with a report and to verify that what Paul and Barnabas was saying to them was actually what was agreed, and that there was agreement in the church about those things. And so in this passage in Acts 15, what we see is that the elders of the Jerusalem church select Silas as one of two men who are going to go back to Antioch with Paul and Barnabas and verify the results of this discussion that they had with the elders and the apostles that is contained in the first part of Acts chapter 15. The only thing that is basically said here that I guess is definitive is that Silas is called a leading man in the church. Now, he wasn't one of the seven deacons appointed, as we're about to study in our Bible class this morning. But that really indicates that the church was so large that there were a lot of people playing leading roles in the church. It tells us that the apostles and the elders of the Jerusalem church obviously had confidence in Silas's ability, and that Silas, in these early days of the church's history, and by the time Acts 15 comes along, it's been several years since the church has been established, that he has demonstrated his dedication and his activity within the church. And so they pick Silas and this other saint that we don't know anything about other than that he's listed here, Judas Barsabbas. If you remember, Barsabbas was the name of the criminal that the people asked to be released instead of Jesus at the crucifixion of Jesus. This has led some people, and there's tradition that has developed, that this disciple was that Barsabbas. But I don't think there's any real hard evidence of that. That's kind of tradition. First place, Judas was a very common name. There were two Judases in the 12 apostles, including the one that betrayed Jesus. And in Hebrew, when the first three letters of a person's name were Bar, all that meant was the son of. So he was Judas, the son of Sabbaths, which would have been how many of those there could have been. And we are never told Barsabbas' full name in the account with Pilate. All we're told. So I don't think this second disciple is necessarily the equivalent that goes with a lot of people's Easter stories. You'll see, since we're in that season and on the general religious calendar, you may see a movie about him that says he was released because of the Lord and he became a disciple. That's all tradition and conjecture. He is not necessarily this person. I don't think we can disprove it, but I don't think you could prove it either. But basically, this is the last we hear of Judas Barsabbas in the book of Acts, but it's not the last we hear of Silas. Later on in Acts 15 and verse 32, we are told that Silas is a prophet. So he is one of those early Christians that has been given the gift of prophecy, probably through the laying on of apostles' hands, but he is able to be an active and inspired teacher because he holds the position of prophet. And so what we have here is that he goes from the Jerusalem church to the Antioch church, and that he spend some time in Antioch working with Paul and Barnabas and the other Christians that are there. In Acts 15 and verse 33, it says that after they, and that they is Paul, Barnabas, Judas Barsabbas, Silas, and anybody that had accompanied Paul and Barnabas back to Antioch from Jerusalem, they were sent away from the brethren in peace to those who had sent them out. So a portion of that delegation that had gone to Antioch now returns to Jerusalem to report on how everything was accomplished at Antioch and so forth. But verse 34 tells us, it seemed good to Silas to remain there. And so Silas stays in Antioch at this point. And so that leads us to the theme of these lessons is Paul's co-workers. And so we have a brief part of Paul's ministry and Silas's life, in which the two of them worked together. Silas's time in Antioch with Paul and Barnabas and the others would have given Paul ample opportunity to observe Silas, get to know him, get to appreciate his work. And so when it's time for the second missionary journey in Acts 15, when Paul and Barnabas disagree about whether or not to take John Mark with them, since he had left them on the first journey, Barnabas is determined to take Mark, who was his nephew, and use him in the service. So Paul and Barnabas decide to split up and go two different directions. And Barnabas takes Mark with him. And so that makes it necessary, at least in Paul's mind, for him to take another companion other than Barnabas with him on the second missionary journey. And so in Acts 15 and verse 40, we are told that Paul chose Silas and left with him after being commended to that work by the brethren at Antioch. And so the involvement of Silas with Paul is contained in three chapters in the book of Acts. Acts 16, 17, and 18. What we commonly call the second missionary journey. Silas's name is mentioned eight times in those three chapters. And so we know that he was an integral part of that trip and worked with Paul throughout that whole journey. This is the section of the book of Acts in which Luke is also a companion of the Apostle Paul. And it is in this section of the book of Acts that we have what are generally called the we passages, which Luke talks in the first person plural rather than in the third person about Paul's activities. And so whenever Luke uses the word we in these chapters, it involves him, Paul, and Silas. And so Silas is just a very important part of these three chapters. He was involved with Paul in the casting out of the demon from the slave girl in Philippi, flip in Acts 16, verses 16 through 19. The artwork that I've chosen as the background for the slide is probably the most famous thing biblically about them, and that is that it was Paul and Silas who were cast into jail after that incident with the owners of the slave girl. And so Paul and Silas were in the prison singing at midnight when the Lord released them, and that led to the conversion of the Philippian jailer. In Acts chapter 17, we are told that Silas was involved in establishing the church at Thessalonica, Acts 17 and verse 4. And I think that that relationship and that work is confirmed and if you look at the introductions of the first and second epistles to the Thessalonians, in chapter 1, verse 1 of both those epistles, when Paul introduces it, it's not Paul to the church at Thessalonica, it's Paul and Silas to the church at Thessalonica. In Acts 17 and verse 10, when Paul leaves Berea to travel on to Athens, he leaves Silas and Timothy in Berea to work with the new church there. And then verse 15 says that he requests that they leave Berea and join him in Greece. They do not make it to Athens, but chapter 18 and verse 5 tells us that they join Paul at Corinth. And so they were involved in the 18 months that the Apostle Paul was preaching in Corinth. And Silas worked with Paul during that entire time in the evangelizing of Corinth and the surrounding areas. 2 Corinthians 1 and verse 19, Paul says, "For the Son of God, Christ Jesus, who was preached among you by us, by me, Silvanus, and Timothy, was not yes and no, but is yes in him." And so Paul basically, in his writing to the Corinthians, acknowledges the work of Silas and Timothy in the establishment of the church in Corinth and the evangelizing of that whole section of Greece. Now, that basically is what Silas did in terms of being a co-worker with Paul. But Silas is not done there in terms of what the Bible tells us about Paul. Luke does not include Silas in his account of Paul's return from Corinth to Antioch at the end of the second journey. And there's no other biblical record that would fill in and say, what did Silas do when Paul returned to Antioch? And so we don't know whether he stayed on to teach in Corinth, whether he went somewhere else. There's no indication that was there any problem. The Bible doesn't record any difficulty like it did with Paul and Barnabas over John Mark. But it just simply does not mention him from that point. The third missionary journey of Paul that is recorded in Acts 19 through 21 mentions a number of co-workers of Paul, Aquila and Priscilla, Apollos, Timothy, Sopater, Aristarchus, Secundus, Gaius, Tychicus, and Trophimus, but does not mention Silas. And so the reasonable conclusion there, since Luke took great care in mentioning all those others as working with Paul on the third journey, is to come to the conclusion that Silas probably was not involved with Paul's third missionary journey. But then we have this in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 12. Through Silvanus, our faithful brother, for so I regard him, I have written to you briefly, exhorting and testifying that this is the true grace of God. Stand firm in it. And so what we have here, sometime after Paul's journey with Silas, is that the language that Peter uses here indicates that Silvanus may have been his scribe or his amanuensis, is the term they often use, that he dictated his epistle to Silvanus and Silvanus wrote it out. Or it could mean that Silvanus is the one that was chosen to take the epistle and distribute it among the Jews that were in Asia Minor. And so this would indicate that at least at this stage of Peter's career, which was near the end of his life, that now Silvanus was found in connection with him. If you stop and you think about it, there's great logic in that, because since we first run into Silvanus or Silas in Acts chapter 15 as a part of the Jerusalem church, well, Peter was an integral part of the Jerusalem church in the early days. And he was involved in the conversation in the first part of Acts 15. And so if Silas was a leading man there and very active in the church, Peter would have been fully aware of that because of Peter's involvement with the church in Jerusalem. We have no details about Silas's work with Peter other than Peter's incidental reference here at the close of 1 Peter of Silas's involvement with the production or the distribution of that epistle to the brethren to whom it was sent. And so Silas again served as Paul's co-worker for a brief period of time. And that's the similarity between him and Barnabas. Barnabas is primarily connected with Paul as a part of the first missionary journey, as a part of the church at Antioch. Silas as the second. There are actually other workers that are associated with Paul over a much longer period of time, and I think Alan will be talking about at least one of those next week. So that basically is what we have about Silas. So we'll stop right there. And Brother Tommy has the prayer, I believe. And after that prayer, we'll be dismissed to our classes.